Father, we give you thanks and praise for this beautiful Lord's Day, for the opportunity that we have to gather to worship and praise you. We pray now that you would empty our hearts of everything that's not worthy of your presence, that you would fill them to overflowing with your Holy Spirit, with your love and grace. Meet with us now and have your way. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's all stand together and join as we sing, "The Church's One Foundation is Jesus Christ, Her Lord." The Church's One Foundation is Jesus Christ. And pardon. Let's read it together in unison. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. Glory be to the Father. Now, before you sit down, so you don't have to get back up again, I would like for all of our teachers, all of our school administrators, all of our school support staff, all of our students, if this involves you on any level, I would like for you to come down forward, please, so we can have a time of prayer with you. Bring your sheet with you, if you would, please. Let's expand this a little bit. If you are parents of a student or grandparents of a student, I would like for you to come down too. I think you've noticed by now you're involved in this as well. Parents and grandparents of students also. Before we have prayer, let's join together in the litany for the beginning of school. God of all learning and wisdom, we pray for our schools. We pray for our public schools. We offer prayer for our private schools. May they continue to symbolize freedom of choice and to pursue excellence without exclusiveness. We intercede for our church-related schools. Let them remain an option for our religious communities. We pray for the men and women who administer our schools and school systems. May they be educators more concerned with human values than with public relations or politics. We pray for teachers. May they exhibit a contagious passion for their subjects, grounded in a profound concern for their students. We intercede for all others who enable education: counselors, janitors, nurses, librarians, and secretaries. May they know they are a vital part of the learning process. We pray for children and youth who attend our schools. Give them a thirst for knowledge and keep them safe. May they learn to avoid the pitfalls on their path and to prize knowledge and justice. We offer fervent prayer for parents, O God, for perplexed, self-conscious, anxious parents. Instead of fretting and blaming, may they join others in strengthening our schools and building our nation. God of wisdom and knowledge, show us the way out of chaos into a new day of enlightenment, trust, and peace, that we may praise you for your mercy forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Let's pause just a moment for a special time of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for these parents and grandparents and teachers and administrators and support staff and students. We just pray now that your Holy Spirit would guide and direct. We thank you that we have the opportunity to study to show ourselves approved unto you, workers who do not need to be ashamed. We pray that you would bless each one of them. Watch over them, Lord. Keep them safe. Comfort the hearts of parents and students and school staff alike. May they feel your peace. May they do your work to build your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. An exciting and apprehensive time for those who are watching little ones go off to school. Some are crying and some are cheering. Students go not knowing what to expect. And folks, I don't need to tell you that it ain't like it used to be, okay? I don't know how many times down through the years I've had young people tell me that they wished they could have grown up in the 50s. You know, that's back when the bad kids would sneak into the restroom and have a cigarette, and on the weekend they might have a beer. And that was about it. Nowadays, you don't know what's going on out there. So we need to keep our young people especially in prayer. Keep our teachers in prayer too. There was a day when if a child really got out of line, the teacher could have a meeting with the Board of Education at the seat of learning. You get the idea? Of course, now they don't even have that option, and that, for better or for worse. When I was in high school, I saw many a football player coming out of the office. The principal was a coach. I'd see football players coming out of the office with tears running down their cheeks. I don't know if it helped them or hindered them, but anyway, do be praying for these. Are there other joys and concerns this morning you'd like to share? Oh, my.
And she was in a lot of pain.
Yes.
They finally got her hooked up to something helped her a little bit. But, and her mom, the whole family needs it.
Absolutely. Thank you. Any others? Okay. Keep him in your prayers as he travels. As the music plays, allow God to prepare your heart for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, this morning we thank and praise you for your goodness and for your grace. We thank you, God, that you are a God of love and peace. We thank you that in a world where there's so much other than love and peace that are exhibited, that your grace is still available to us and for us. We pray this morning that you be with each one in this room. Be with those who have uncertainties about health issues, about finances, about work, about relationships. We pray that you would lift them and strengthen and comfort them now. We pray that you would be with those who aren't able to be here today but wish they could be. So many people, Lord, that have been through surgeries and procedures. So many people that need your love and your grace just to make it through another day and another week. We pray that you would be with this great nation of ours. We pray that you would guide all of those in Washington. Lord, they need your help. We pray that you would get their eyes upon you, upon your kingdom, and off politics and power and money. We pray, Lord, that you would be with this world of ours. Remind us that all of us are brothers and sisters together. And we realize, as brothers and sisters often do, there will be times when there's disagreements, when there are things that need to be settled. We pray that you would help us that we might do these things in a way that's pleasing to you. Meet with us now, your people here in your church, that we might do your work and build your kingdom. May everything we think and say and do be to your honor and glory. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Ushers, would you please come? Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of your many wonderful blessings to us. We are indeed so blessed. We pray now that you'd bless these, our gifts to you for the building of your kingdom. Bless the giver. Bless the one who's unable to give. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I was visiting a woman one time. She was older, having some health problems. She'd been to the doctor, and I said, did everything go well with the doctor? And she said, yes, he gave me a prescription. I said, is that helping you? She said, I haven't got it filled yet. I said, I'll tell you what, if you'll give me the prescription, I'll be glad to take it down and get it for you. And she said, okay. And so I went down and got it, took it back to her. And I said, here you go. I said, now you're supposed to take one as soon as you get it. She said, I don't feel very good right now. I'll take it later when I feel better. And no, that's not the idea. Well, you know, so often on Communion Sunday, we say, I really don't feel, it's been a rough week and I don't feel like taking communion. We don't take communion because of how we feel. We take communion because of who God is, because his love and his grace is available to us even when we ain't feeling so hot. Realize that there is healing available, that God's gift is offered to us right where we are. That prayer of confession and pardon, if we prayed that, that's all we need to do to be ready to come to God's table, if that's a prayer of our hearts. This song reminds us that God will calm the troubled waters of our soul. If your heart is heavy with some grief or trouble, you do not have to bear it all alone. For you have a friend who knows all about your struggles. And he'll be standing there when all your other friends have gone. And he will calm those troubled waters of your soul. He'll take your broken heart and make it whole. If the storms of your life grow dark and cold, he will calm the troubled waters of your soul. Deep in every heart there is a longing to find happiness and oh, such peace of mind. And if your heart grows weary from the searching, just turn to Jesus, and then my friend you'll find that he will calm those troubled waters of your soul. He'll take your broken heart and make it whole. And if the storms of your life grow dark and cold, he will calm the troubled waters of your soul. He will calm those troubled waters of your soul. He'll take your broken heart and you'll make it whole. And if the storms of your life grow dark and cold, he will calm the troubled waters, the dark troubled waters. He will calm those troubled waters of your soul.
Today's scripture is John chapter 17, verses 20 through 26. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me because of their testimony. My prayer for all of them is that they will be one, just as you and I are one. Father, that just as you are in me and I am in you, so they will be in us and the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are, I in them and you in me, all being perfected into one. Then the world will know that you sent me and will understand that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you've given me to be with me, so they can see my glory. You gave me the glory because you loved me even before the world began. O righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do, and these disciples know you sent me, and I have revealed you to them and will keep on revealing you. I will do this so that your love may be in them and I in them. Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. This prayer of Jesus in John chapter 17 is one of his better known prayers. Let me share with you three specific matters that Jesus addresses in this prayer, not only for the disciples back then, but for Rockwood United Methodist Church today. First of all, we find there in verses 21 through 23, Jesus prayed for our unity. A while back in a Peanuts cartoon, Linus was watching TV, and Lucy demanded that he change the channel. And then she threatened him if he didn't. Linus says, "What makes you think you can walk right in here and take over?" Lucy says, "These five fingers, individually, they're not very much. But when I curl them together like this into a single unit, they form a weapon that is terrible to behold." Linus says, "What channel do you want?" Turning away, he looks at his fingers and says, "Why can't you guys get together like that?" It's estimated that if the colonies had been more unified at the time of the American Revolution, the War of Independence could have been won in 1 year instead of 8 bloody years of battle. Verse 21, Jesus prayed that they will be one. Verse 22, that they may be one. Verse 23, all being perfected into one. He's talking, first of all, of a unity of belief, a specific belief in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, keeping the main thing the main thing. Secondly, he's talking about not only unity in belief, but unity in glory, God's glory. This is our public witness. He said, "I've given them the glory you gave me." You remember Matthew 5:16, it says, "Let your light so shine before others that they might see your good works and glorify," not us, "glorify our Father who is in heaven." When Jesus prays for unity, he's not praying for uniformity, the absolute similarity of organization, style, personality, and appearance. I've been to churches where people dress pretty much alike. The guys wear dark suits, white shirts, ties. The women might wear long dresses and bun hairdos, and you know the style. Somebody comes in looking other than that, they look like an outsider. Jesus is also not praying for unanimity, unanimity. He's not praying for an absolute agreement of opinion. Someone has said, "I think that I shall never see a church that all it ought to be. It ought to be. A church whose members never stray beyond the straight and narrow way. A church that has no empty pews, whose pastor never has the blues. A church with members at their peak, and none is proud, and all are meek. Where gossips never peddle lies, or make complaints or criticize. Where all are always sweet and kind, and to all others' faults are blind. Such perfect churches there may be, but none of them are known to me. But still we'll work and pray and plan to make Rockwood UMC the best we can." Jesus also does not pray for union, an absolute coalition within the ranks of Christianity. Now, this doesn't take much to understand. You drive up and down the street here and notice all the different churches. When I was pastoring in Appleton, Wisconsin, as maybe you know, there are a few Lutherans up there. At one intersection in town, on 3 of the 4 corners, there were Lutheran churches. Now, when you talk within a stone's throw, they were. Okay, but you have all, not only these denominations, the Lutherans, but you have American Lutherans, Missouri Synod, and the Evangelical Lutherans, and on and on and on the list goes, in the same way with the rest of us too. In 1989, the Director of Ecumenical Affairs of the National Council of Churches wrote that the Roman Catholic Church and the major Protestant churches, as a start, should recognize the existence of general church memberships. This would hasten the unification of all churches into one superbody, he said. This means if you become a Christian, other Christians will acknowledge that you're fully a Christian. If anyone belongs to one church, they belong to all churches. Thus, if we became members of the United Methodist Church, we would simultaneously be a full member of the African Methodist Episcopal Church, the Roman Catholic Church, the United Church of Christ, and the Episcopal Church. Now, I agree with the spirit of that thought, but not with the absolute reality of it. As long as people make up the church, there will be distinctions and differences. I don't believe God is concerned about our denominations and the various branches of the Christian church like we are. I do believe God is concerned about our failing to allow Jesus to live in and through our lives and ministry. When I was up in what used to be Lake City, the old Methodist church downtown across from the post office was a wood frame building, and it was being used by the Lake City Christian Fellowship, I believe it is, one of them anyway. They are a charismatic group, Pentecostal. And, you know, here they were worshiping in the church we used to worship in, but they weren't doing it the way we used to do it. In fact, one Sunday night, they got to going and they all got to dancing. And the floor joist broke. Fortunately, there's just a crawl space under there, so they didn't have far to go. But if they'd been doing it our way, that wouldn't have happened. You know, we don't bounce around too much during worship. But essentially, you and I, as United Methodists, attest to this unity each week when we repeat the Apostles' Creed. You know, we say, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. Now, I was pastoring down in Florida and had a young man that I'd spoke to during the week, and he came to church Sunday morning, and we got the Apostles' Creed, and we said, do we believe in the Holy Catholic Church? He was out the door. Didn't see him for 2 or 3 weeks. When I did, I got to talking to him. He said, when you got to talking about that Catholic Church stuff, I wasn't going to have any part of that. We're not talking about the Roman Catholic Church. Here it means the church universal. We're saying, I believe if somebody goes to one of the other churches down the street here or downtown, that they're just as entitled to be part of the kingdom of God as I am. We don't believe if you're not a member of this church, you're not going to make it to heaven. We believe if you've been baptized somewhere else, that's good enough for us as well. When we first moved from New England to Florida, we got down there and we found out there weren't too many congregational churches down there. So we got to looking for a home church, and it was the town's only about 10,000 people, or it was at that time. And we got to looking around, and we met several people that went to First Baptist Church, and they invited us to come, and we did. And Mom and Dad really liked it there, and so they went to talk to the pastor about joining, and he said, well, you need to be baptized. And they said, oh, no, we already have. Not in my church, you haven't. Well, fortunately, a lot of that has changed and is changing, but we came almost that close to being Baptist, and we ended up, when he said that, we went across the street to the Methodist Church. So what he does pray for, what Jesus is praying for here, is our unity, oneness of heart and faith and purpose, which can only come when the Holy Spirit controls our lives. One of the modern engineering marvels of the world is the Golden Gate Bridge across the entrance to San Francisco Bay. This bridge, as long as it is, as heavy as it is, the amount of traffic that it carries is supported by two cables. But those two cables are each made up of 20,000 separate cables twisted into one individual cable. Together, they do the job. You know, over there in Isaiah 40, it says, "They that wait upon the Lord." It's not talking about sitting around twiddling our thumbs saying, "Okay, God, we're waiting. Okay, God, come on, do your thing. Here we are, God." What it means, the Hebrew word there, I understand, is kahwa, which means to be intertwined. Those who are intertwined with the Lord, those who allow God to intertwine every part of their life, shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Think of a rope with a bunch of cotton fibers all woven together. But in the middle is a strand of steel cable. That rope, when it's intertwined with that steel cable, takes on the strength of the steel. You and I, when we're intertwined with God, it's not our strength, it's not that we're so capable, but it's that we're intertwined with God, so we are part of His power and part of His work and part of God's kingdom. Secondly, Jesus prayed for our destiny. Verse 24, "Father, I want these whom you've given me to be with me so they can see my glory." This is a direct reference to the kind of life that God expects us to lead if we're to be with Him and see His glory. This is what He expects in our lives. Now, when I first became a Christian, I had attended Vacation Bible School. I was invited the next week to go to a church conference. And as a boy of 10 or 11 or 12 years old, during the conference, they had a church service. They gave an invitation. I went down to the altar rail, and a man came down and knelt in front of me, and he said, "Are you a Christian?" And I said, "Most of the time." Now, don't smile too big, because if some of you were honest, that's what we might say too, huh? Most of the time. Well, wouldn't it be great if everybody could be a Christian at least 99.9% of the time? The only problem is that would not work. God doesn't want 99.9. God wants 100%. Now, let me show you what 99.9% could mean. If 99.9% were acceptable, that would mean that every couple of months in your home, you'd experience at least 1 hour when the water was not safe to drink. 99.9% means there would be two unsafe plane landings every day at O'Hare National Airport in Chicago. It means that 16,000 pieces of mail would be lost by the U.S. Postal Service every hour. 99.9% means there would be 20,000 incorrect prescriptions issued every year in the United States. Means there would be 500 incorrect surgical operations every week. Means 50 newborn babies would be dropped at birth by doctors every day. Means that 22,000 checks deducted from the wrong bank accounts would be deducted from the wrong bank accounts each hour. 99.9% means that you and I would miss 32,000 heartbeats every year. You only have to miss one or two, and guess what? We're talking 32,000 here. But we're not called to be perfect. Realize this now. A lot of people think Christians are supposed to be perfect. We're not called to be perfect. John Wesley talked about perfect love. And a lot of people get tripped up on this. This is not talking about an absolute perfection. How many of you all are perfect? How many of you are sitting beside someone who thinks they're perfect? Don't raise your hand. We don't need a discussion over the dinner table today. What John Wesley was talking about, though, was a perfection of motivation. Whatever we do, just like it says in Corinthians, whatever we do all to the glory of God. We do it through the motivation of God loving us and allowing God's love to flow through us to others. Anything less than that is what the Greeks call amartia, which means missing the mark. We fall short. It's translated as sin. We allow God's love to flow through us, and that's what holiness is all about. God says, be holy as I am holy. Okay, and finally, number three, he prayed for our love. God loves us, and we in turn love others. Let me give you an illustration of this kind of love. A number of years ago, a young girl named Liz was hospitalized. She was suffering from a rare and serious disease. The doctors said that she only had a few hours left to live. Her only chance for recovery appeared to be a direct blood transfusion from her 5-year-old brother, who had miraculously survived the same disease and had developed antibodies that would combat the disease. The doctor explained the situation to the family and to the little brother. And when the parents consented, the doctor then asked the 5-year-old boy if he would be willing to give his blood to save his sister. He hesitated for only a moment. He drew a deep breath and says, yes, I will do it if it will save her. As the transfusion progressed, he lay in bed next to his sister and smiled. The color was returning to his sister's cheeks. Then his little face grew pale and his smile faded. He looked up at the doctor and with a trembling voice, he said, will I die right away? Being young, the boy thought that he was going to have to give all of his blood to save his sister. And he was willing. This is what Jesus was referring to when he said, greater love has no one than this, that they lay down their life for a friend. Three specific applications now and we're done. To grow in unity means giving in, refusing to get hung up on trivial disagreements, having deep love and high tolerance levels. James 4, what is causing quarrels and fights among you? Isn't it the whole army of evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You're jealous for what others have, and you can't possess it, so you fight and quarrel to take it away from them. Number two, another application is to know that our destiny means giving up control, allowing God to take complete charge of every area of our lives. Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And then number three, to show God's love means giving out. Loving others as freely and deeply as God loves us. 1 John 4, if someone says, I love God, but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we have not seen? And God himself has commanded that we must love not only him, but our Christian brothers and sisters also. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we pray that you would guide and direct our hearts. Help us, Lord, that we might realize what you want for Rockwood United Methodist Church, that we might determine that whatever it takes in our hearts, that is what we will do. We want others to be able to see God and Jesus and God's love flowing through us. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, help us that we might do that. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. I invite you to join with me now in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Oops. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. We are reminded that on the night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world a body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray together as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Will the servers please come?